Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here at the table with my daughter Madison.
Hello.
And it is Super Bowl Sunday that we are taping this, and you guys will listen to it tomorrow. So we're not here to talk about the game. We don't know who's winning or losing. We haven't even started watching it yet. So y'all have fun if you all are into watching the Super Bowl, but we think we have something more super to talk about, and that's the Word of God. So, Madison, would you have the pleasure of starting us off with a truth that the Spirit has revealed to you from His Word and how you're seeking to apply it?
Yeah. So, I am going to start with Exodus. We've been reading in Exodus, and this is about Moses and the signs. He's going to Pharaoh. But before that, some things that I wrote down when Moses meets God in the burning bush, he comes up with all of these excuses, like, I'm not a good talker, I can't do this, what's your name, what if people don't believe me, like all of this. And God answers him and gives him a lot of, you know, say I am, blah, blah, blah. But one thing that popped out with me is that he gives him Aaron. And then Aaron immediately believes, well, at least from what we gather, when Moses goes and tells Aaron, Aaron didn't have the encounter with God, but Aaron immediately believes Moses. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. And so in Exodus 7, 6, it says, just a second, Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. So both of them did what God told them. They did the signs. They went to their Israelite people. They went to Pharaoh, and they did all of the things that God told them. I think that's cool because Moses is the one that met with God. And so then Aaron was the person that God gave Moses to help him through this crazy encounter with Pharaoh and letting the people go and all of these plagues and signs and really hard things. And then Aaron starts speaking and doing all of the things. But then at the end, Moses, the same burning bush, I'm not good at speaking. I can't do it by myself. What if I don't have all the right answers? Now, after being with Aaron and then God fulfilling his promises, by the end of it, Moses is the one speaking to Pharaoh, and he's the one solely doing the signs. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. So it's kind of like this community that God gave Moses, strengthened Moses enough to be confident to do things alone. So I thought that was cool, and I wrote that down. Then several days later in our reading in Exodus 17, kind of the same truth popped out. 17 in 8 through 16, it talks about the battle against the Amalekites. And this is where Joshua comes into play, which I've studied Joshua pretty recently in one of our verse mapping sessions, and I just fell in love with Joshua and the historical background, but it all starts from his relationship with Moses. And so Joshua is fighting, and Moses is high on the mountain, and God tells Moses if his hands are raised, they're winning the battle, but if he drops his hands, they will lose. So Joshua still has to give it his all. He has to follow Moses's command to fight, but Moses has to raise his hands. And then it tells us that there's two people beside Moses, and when Moses gets tired, these two people give him a rock to sit on, and they literally hold his hands up. And so the same kind of truth came back to me. God tells us things, and we're doing it. But the people around us can be just as excited about what God has told us and can support us along that journey and help us, you know, grow our faith. And so then the next day we read in Exodus 18, just the next chapter, about Jethro, which is Moses's father-in-law. And Moses is, you know, over the city, and he's taking on everything. All the people have complaints or questions or sacrifice, whatever it is, and they're all going to Moses. And Jethro visits him, and he's like, hey, how's it going? Looking around, and he gives him advice. And in 18:18, it says, you and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for this is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. And he tells them, like, you gotta, you know, give some of this away. So they set up groups. They set up, you know, these people can go to this guy, and these people can go to this guy, and all of the leaders then can go to you, Moses. So you're taking care of them. In turn, they're taking care of others, and everyone's getting taken care of, and everyone can do that. And so back to back over several days, just this truth of God encouraging and blessing us with others just came through. And so on Saturdays, I usually look through the whole week of what I have been reading and what I've written down. And I kind of take a step back and say, like, is there anything that he's told me over several days? Mm-hmm. And this was like, yes. Mm-hmm. So some things that he kind of told me through these several stories is that us as believers have fellow believers that sharpen us and push us. We have believers that fight with us and support us when we need it. And there are other believers that will bring us insight and different perspective that will help us and the people around us. So community is a blessing from God, and it's sometimes necessary for us and for the people around us. So how am I seeking to apply that? I have a community. Mm-hmm. I am going to try to continue encouraging them and also letting them encourage me, kind of be vulnerable and hear them out. And I've got some different groups and some different people that I want to be intentional with, and know that for me, sometimes it's easier to say, like, I've got this, kind of like Moses was with Jethro. Like, I can do it. I'm going to, like, do my own thing. But he's really kind of tapped on me and said, like, for your good, you'll burn out if you don't be around other people and let them encourage you. And for the other people's good, give them, raise them up. Let them be a light too. Give them that opportunity. So I'm trying to be intentional with my community, letting them into my life, which can be kind of scary and vulnerable, and then making sure that I'm blessing them as well.
And I mean, so powerful. Everything you just said is so powerful. And when I read it, it totally explained to me what I knew the Spirit had told me he wanted for this semester on Wednesday nights. Because mm-hmm. it's a totally different look from what we've done in the past. And when I'd been praying about it, like, because I mean, this is the Lord's house. The Spirit is in that room. When we as women gather in that room, we are seeking the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, you know, to honor you, what do you have planned for us this semester? And I fully knew it was going to be small group circles of women intentionally disciplining each other and holding each other accountable. And like Moses, the first thing I wanted to like conversate humanly back with him is like, I'm all in. That sounds great. Where are the leaders? You know, that I'm one person. Mm-hmm. And we had had some offshoot small groups with Practicing the Way, but it was very guided. It was very structured mm-hmm. from Practicing the Way. And I knew the Spirit just wanted it to be organic. It was just going to happen. Women were going to self-put themselves into groups. It was going to be who needed to be in what group. And it was going to just be read the Word of God, find a truth, let's apply it. Boom. I'm like, that sounds really great. But where are the leaders going to come from? And so, long story short, there are 16 leaders, ranging youngest. I have three college-age leaders, all the way up to an undisclosed number of how old women are. But God raised them up and brought them out. And so here we go. We have a room full of seven circles. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, seven circles, 16 leaders, me 17. And exactly what you just said, Maddie, I'm equipping and holding you 17 accountable, and it's you and your co-leaders' opportunity to figure out what your group needs, mm-hmm. what that looks like for your group. No two groups have to look alike, because the Holy Spirit knows each of us intimately and what our needs are, and the groups differ by the needs. And we didn't put them in the groups. Mm-hmm. It was so unbelievable how people just found which group they were pulled to go into. And so just a shout out, if you like anything that you just heard Maddie talk about from the Word of God, and that we know the Spirit has called us to apply it this mm-hmm. semester, our next session is Wednesday, February 19th. It's not too late. Grab a Bible, a journal, something to write with, and come find a circle. You get to choose. We won't choose it for you. But yeah, it's amazing. And we've only had one on-site Wednesday about mm-hmm. it. I'm going to share mine, and it kind of goes hand in hand with it. This is from Matthew 20. It's the parable of laborers in the vineyard. And it's the parable of Jews who were being first called, but now the gospel is available even for the Gentiles. And so it's really about how do we go out and spread the news of, you know, the good news that God has for everyone. It's available to everyone. We all have equal privilege. And I'm not going to read it for you, but it's Matthew 20, and it's basically 1 through 16. And the laborers represent us as people, and the marketplace is the world. The whole world is full of people that need to know the good news. And what's interesting is if you look at verse 6, it says, "And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you just stand here idle all day?' And they said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.'" And so, from that, I got the revelation from the Spirit. It's like, how many of us are just standing around? We're not serving in our church. We're not a part of a community of or a group. We're not praying with any coworkers. Maybe we're not doing any discipleship in our home. We're not reading the Bible to our kids before bed. We're not praying with our husband. You know, it doesn't matter how huge of an audience. It can be an audience of one. But how many of us are just sitting around going, well, I haven't been asked to do anything. I haven't been asked to serve God. You know, nobody's walked up to me and said, "Hey, can you do this?" Mm-hmm. And he says to them in the next 7, after they say, "Because no one has hired us," he says to them, "You go. You go into the vineyard too. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs to come and get you. Go." That was my paraphrase. And then it goes on. If you keep reading it, God is going to reward his saints. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I just got from this. Oh, and if you go to the very end, if you start with 20 verse 14, "Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So sometimes I think, oh, well, we look at the next person and we're like, why are they getting all the blessings? We don't know what that person's doing for God that maybe we don't see, because maybe it is happening in their home. Maybe it is in a quiet place at work. Maybe they're just emoting humility. Maybe they're making meals for people. Maybe they're checking in on people. Maybe we don't see that, But we're like, well, why are they getting all that? And we're over here. And so it's like the master of the house, Allah God, is saying, so you're going to tell me who I can and can't be generous to? And then in the very last verse, 16, he says, the last will be first and the first will be last, which is a restatement of Matthew 19:30, if you could look that one up. But here's how I took it. God is rewarding his saints for the service they're doing. Mic drop. We're not sitting here measuring up what service looks like. Like, oh, she's doing more than she is. Or, well, I'm doing three things at church and I don't see them doing anything. Mm-hmm. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about humility. We're talking about meeting with him alone in his word in private. We're talking about growing and seeking wisdom and pursuing his understanding. And we're talking about, are you really saying, God, I give you this day. What do you need from me today? And however he says, check in on that person. Say hi to that person. Say, I missed you today at church to somebody. That's serving. That is serving. It doesn't have to be grandiose. But what I got from it is, if any of you listening to my voice stops and says, well, I may appear to be standing your idol, but no one's asked me to do anything. I'm here to tell you, God is saying, go, be a disciple of mine. Do something for me. Mm-hmm. Open my word and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what I am telling you to do. Invite someone to church. Invite someone to a small group. Invite someone to pray with you before work. Invite your kid to pray with you at the table. Invite your kid to pray with you before bed. The Holy Spirit is seeking to awaken all of us believers into action. And that referred me back to Psalm 19 that I've talked about on a podcast before, about basically the law of the Lord, or the Bible, the Word, is wanting to revive our soul. And he's commanding us to read it because he's wanting to use it to prompt us into action. He doesn't want us just to gain refreshment and understanding from it. He doesn't want us just to be able to rejoice in his truth. He wants to use it to activate us, enlighten us, convict us, affirm us, and say, listen, you know what I just shared to you? Share it with someone else. Because if Maddie had kept what she had to say to herself, somebody listening to this won't have heard it. And if you're not in a group of women, because I'm speaking to women, if you are not in a group of women that has a culture of saying, I am looking for the Holy Spirit to reveal something from God's word, you're missing out. Mm-hmm. It's a rich opportunity to iron sharpening iron. Like, it's just check yourself. It's coming. Be in the room. Be in the room on Wednesday, February 19th. The Holy Spirit has opened up an opportunity for each of us. I've been working on this. It will be released on February 19th in the room. And it came out of two women vulnerably in my living room, expressing some need and some opportunity for accountability and awareness. And through a Jen Wilkins study in his image, we are taking two resources and then the ultimate resource, the Bible, and we are compiling it into something that I feel the Holy Spirit is going to allow us to use it to break down self-inflicted mental barriers that Satan uses to trap us, defeat us, distract us, disable us, and deter us from acting out the word of God. So that's just a teaser. Be in the room February 19th.
I want to go back to your what you were talking about in Matthew 20.
Yes.
Because I love what you shared, because I didn't get that.
Oh.
When I read Matthew 20, the thing that I wrote down, which you shared, but it's thing that I got, that verse 15, it just stuck out to me so much. And in the version that I had, it was, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own things? Are you going to be envious because I am generous? And kind of like what you touched on. This idea of, I should be blessed because I'm doing what you've told me to do. And just vulnerably, I can get into the trap of, I'm doing the things that I feel like I'm supposed to. I'm hearing from you. We have a good relationship. So then why aren't you answering me? Why isn't this prayer request coming? What's going on? And then,
like, he's withholding
you
something.
Can become envious of someone else that gets it. And from the outside, they might be a super righteous person, but you can still feel sad or disappointed. Or they can be like a, it doesn't look like they have anything going on for them.
They're a dirtbag.
And you're like, why did they get that? And he spoke through that and was like, why? I can be generous to whoever I want. You don't have to be envious of some of my generosity to someone else. You don't know their journey. You don't know their life. And they don't know yours. And we've got a different relationship and you're on a different path and you don't know the things that I haven't. You know, it was a humbling. But what paired with that was either that day or somewhere around, we also read Psalms 25. And Psalms 25 kind of answered some of those questions for me of, well, it still doesn't make sense sometimes why I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and maybe things aren't going in this world my way. And so Psalms 25, David is talking to the Lord, and he, in 25:5, it says, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all day long. So, I mean, that's kind of the answer. We want people, or we want him to show us, to lead us, guide us. Like, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, help me, or maybe I am, but why aren't these things happening? Lead me, guide me. Well, then he answers his own question, or my question when I was reading that. 25:8 says, good and upright is the Lord. He is good. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. And then on verse 9, it says, he leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. So his two things in verse 5 were, lead me and teach me. And then in verse 9, he leads the humble. He teaches the humble. And so I guess I think it is okay to feel sad. We see David laying out all of his emotions. When answered prayers aren't going your way, it's okay to feel disappointed. It's okay to feel sad. But it is also a place to check yourself. That's what he kind of was telling me, like, check yourself. Are you humble? Or because we have a good relationship and because you're doing what you're supposed to, have you elevated yourself to somewhat of a position of God? And has he brought you down to stay humble, stay doing what you're doing? Don't get outside your lane. You're looking to other people. You're envious of my generosity to others. Keep working. Like, that was the parables of people where, keep working, keep sharing. It's not all about us, and we don't know the plan or the path. We can't see his purpose all the time and how he's working in our lives and around. So it was kind of this, like, yeah, feel the feels, get over it, keep working. And stay humble, because he's going to teach. It doesn't say he's going to answer all the prayers of the humble, but he says he's going to teach and he's going to guide you. And so I, from the same parable, got something a little different.
Because it's applicable to you.
And and it paired with another Psalms that was different, but just wanted to share that.
And she's given a little bit more of a, it may be masked, but a little bit more of a commercial for what's going to come on the 19th, even about what she just said. So, y'all just need to be in the room Wednesday the 19th. And then I'm going to jump off. I hope y'all know when we talk like this at the table, we do not have a script or a forethought plan. So she kind of bounced from where I was and then took us to Psalm 25. So I'm going to bounce to Psalm 25 to take you from that. But if anyone's ever been in the room or has heard me pray on here and I say, Holy Spirit, you're my best friend. Well, if you go to 25:14, this is one of two verses I'm actually in the process of verse mapping right now. Because 25:14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. So from the age that I am, and what I started when I was 13, and 56 years old, from 13 to 56, I have developed what I genuinely and authentically can say is the Holy Spirit is my best friend. But it has come from, like what Maddie is authentically saying, it's come from many, many seasons of where are you, God, and why aren't you answering me, and him humbling me and renewing me, and I'm surrendering to him, and I'm kind of trying to maybe game him or control him, like Maddie alluded to. Well, I'm doing this, so shouldn't, it's like an algebraic formula. Well, A plus Y should equal, you know, 2x, and I'm thinking, well, where's your 2x's, God? Because I'm doing the A and the Y, and he's like, yeah. No, that's not mathing with me. That's not how I do what I do. And so it's, if you go back down to then 25, Psalm 25, like 20, it's guard my soul and deliver me. I think of that as we just basically keep me from myself.
Yeah.
My own mind and my own emotions are my worst enemy, which is what part of this on Wednesday the 19th, I hope, is what he has planned to help us. Because look at 25:21. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I what?
Wait
for you.
Yep.
It is a matter of total humble serenity. It's a total. Do we really, 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 really believe God is enough, and I am enough, and it is enough to just love him and seek him? Is it truly enough? Or are we really waiting on A, B, C, X, Y, Z? And so then from the Holy Spirit, you are my best friend, Psalm 25:14, you can pop over to Proverbs 7:4. And in Proverbs 7:4, it says, say to wisdom, which is the truth of God's word, you are my sister, and call insight, that ability to understand the truth and apply it, your intimate friend. And the only way we can get that intimacy to read the word of God, know the insight of his truth, and apply it is if the word of God through the Holy Spirit becomes our best friend. And I really think, you know, he's a just God, and his first commandment is to have no other gods before me. If you go to Exodus and you look at the Ten Commandments, it's have no other gods before me. Mm-hmm. I totally think this side of heaven, we will battle daily with what do we love more than God?
Right.
What do we love more than God? Because he says, love me first. Put nothing else in front of me. And sometimes I think we're waiting on an answer to something and we've made that our God.
Right.
We're like, well, if I could just, if this would just happen, then you'd be my everything, God.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, no, I'm your everything now.
Yeah.
And if this would just happen, then you'd be my everything, God. He's like, no. I can give you some time to reorient those priorities.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, everyone, if you can't admit that that's you or has been you, well, you have another problem. But we've all been there at one time or another. No one can escape that idea of priority of him over everything else. Husband, kids, job. We wrestle with giving him top priority. All right. Do you want to share with us one more truth in application?
Sure. I'm thinking Exodus, staying in the Old Testament this time.
Okay, because I think I'm planning to stay in Matthew, so how fun.
So, to be honest, after the stories of Moses and the very excitement of the Israelites, we started getting into the laws.
Yes.
And as interesting as I want to say they were, it was kind of hard to stay 100% engaged. So I had to really focus and spend time with just being obedient and reading through, like, the cloth color, how long everything had to be, we're building things.
You know what I got from that? The Exodus, like, 26, 27, all of that about the...
The tabernacle,
the type of wood, the curtains. Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. Here's what I got reading it. God is in the details.
Yes.
If he is to the nth degree of details about those things, then it only again reinforces my saying of us overthinking is under trusting. Mm-hmm. When we overthink anything, we are under-trusting him. Right. Because if you go back, if you haven't lately, go back and read Exodus 26 and 27 and then keep going into 28 and 29. If he has that much detail for his church, then he has all the nth degree details figured out, like the hairs on your head, about your life.
Right.
So if you ever doubt and think, I don't think he sees me, I don't think he hears me, I don't think he's got a plan for this problem, go read Exodus 26, 27,
which
28,
in that time, you know, sometimes we're like, God, give me exactly what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
They got that. And I'm sure they followed it to the best of their ability to make this house.
Because they couldn't meet with him any other way.
Right. This was their... How do I meet with God in the holy, most holy place, this tabernacle, Ark of the Covenant, everything like that? So it was so important. But also I'm like, you know what? I'll have the faith and you give me little by little. Because if you give me this playbook, first of all, it's a little boring. And second of all, that's a lot of things
they
had to do. Very specific things. So some things that I did get from that. Exodus 26 and 27 is it talking about the tabernacle and the holy of holy place and then the veil separating to the most holy place and then putting the ark and the mercy seat there. Well, we haven't gotten to it this year in the reading plan, but I know that is foreshadowing of Jesus because I know that the veil is torn through Jesus' crucifixion. So this idea of this is where they had to meet, that was just a truth that I'm like, okay, put it in the back. This is important because it's setting up their place to meet with God. And ultimately, he's already planning to tear that down with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus so that I do not have to do this. We don't have to build this place. We don't have to carry around the Ark of the Covenant. And I was so thankful. We don't have to do that anymore. We can just pray and he's here and the Spirit is dwelling inside of us. So then going into Exodus 27, verses 20 and 21, it's talking about the oil for the lamp. It says, you shall command the people of Israel that they bring to you pure beaten olive oil for the light, that a lamp may regularly be set up to burn in the tent of meeting outside the veil that is before the testimony. Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening to morning before the Lord. This idea of staying ready, and they were able to meet with God all of the time and just having that opportunity, that would have been so much work to keep the lamp burning, but it was so important. God told him to do that, and that was their place of meeting. That means he's there all the time. We're ready, whether we're going into the holy of holy places or not, we're ready. And
So then I got from that, those same verses, turning to it in my journal Bible, I got the fact that that pure oil signifies the gift and the graces that he gave us with the Holy Spirit that resides in each of us, mm-hmm. and is and should be forever burning inside a believer.
Right.
But then if you go, that's where I was headed, Matthew 25, 1 through 30, which is the parable of the 10 virgins. And again, I won't read it to you all today for time's sake, but go read it. 1 through 13, Matthew 25, 1 through 13. It's basically allegory for what a sincere Christian should be. And one of the things that Matthew Henry's commentary said was, think of it as many have a lamp of professing their faith in Christ. We profess that we believe in Christ. So then we have that lamp of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. If you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, if you say, I know I'm a sinner, Jesus, come and be my personal Savior, you have been given a lamp. It's a lamp of professing you are a believer. But so many of us keep that lamp unlit or let the oil or the light go out because in our head, we know we've asked Jesus Christ into our life, but we have not kept the lamp lit in our hearts. We're not continuing to be watchful of it. How do we watch? How are we watchful of our own lit spirit? Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Keep in communion with others. Ask for the Spirit to convict us. Ask for the Spirit to affirm us. Right. Ask for the Spirit to cause us to be active. How many of us have let our lamps burn out is exactly what Exodus to Matthew is comparing. Mm-hmm. And our hearts must be stored with holy dispositions by the ever-renewing Spirit of God. Meaning, if you are the same person when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart that you are 50, 40, 30, 12, 20, 17, 80 years later, you have not allowed the Holy Spirit to change you to show more characteristics and likeness of Christ. How do you know how to change in disposition and character? Read the Word of God. Yeah. Be humbled. Surrender. Ask for his renewal. Rejoice in him. Cry with him. Moan to him. Find a mentor. Yeah.
Both of those pairing, I wrote out beside that we have a personal responsibility to be prepared.
Yes.
We have to, whether the Old Testament guys or this New Testament parable representing us, the lamp has to regularly stay burning.
Yes.
And it's not anyone else's responsibility to trim the wick and get it ready and have your olive oil set out beside. It is your responsibility.
That's right.
Only yours. And at one point, Jesus coming back. And like it says in Matthew, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. You have no idea. So you have to be ready and you have to keep watch. Because you would hate, I would hate to stand before him and say, I just wasn't ready. I knew you were coming. It's just, I didn't know. I thought I had more time. Yeah. And he's like, I told you to stay ready.
Yeah.
It's not on your dad or your brother or your husband or your child. Boss.
Yeah.
This is on you.
Your pastor.
You're standing before him one day, and I really hope I get the good.
Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. And well done you didn't keep it to yourself. You know, well done that you allowed other people in on your relationship with me. That's my thing. How dare I keep a super friendship that is for all. It's not an exclusive friendship. Right. Friendship. It's an inclusive one. How dare I keep this deep, intimate friendship with someone private? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. How horrible that is that anyone would find out that, oh, why didn't you ever share that with me? I worked with you for 20 years. I went to school with you. I lived next door to you. I'm in your family, and you never told me about this amazing friendship with this guy named Jesus and this spirit thing that if I ask him into my heart, I have this counselor as my guide, and I've got this book that I can read, but it knows me, and it can speak to me personally, to me. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I guess I forgot to let you in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I wrote to my margin as well. I said, we must all be reckoned with what good we have got to our own souls, comma, and to the souls of others.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just a little bit about how just get in the Word and get with somebody else that's in the Word and just be excited for each other to be like I'm so excited for how the Holy Spirit is revealing His truths to Madison and how Madison is walking it out. And she's excited for me how I read the Word of God, and I'm still getting invigorated and activated and convicted by it. There's no age limit to like, oh, well, I've read that before.
Yeah.
So read it again. Yeah. Well, I've read that verse. I've studied that book. Well, study it again or pick another book. There's 66 of them. I mean, I've gone back in journals and yes, I studied the same passages, but like Madison just showed, I can get something out of it now in this season that I didn't get before.
Right.
And she gets something out of it different than I get. And we're reading it at the same time.
Or you get the same thing. And it's still a good reminder of His truth that is consistent. And maybe you're supposed to share that with someone around you. I've had some experiences where I've shared some things that I'm learning with some people around me. And then they come up and say, I was reading that and I got the same thing, or I learned this about this and it connected. And that's almost more exciting because as exciting as it is to learn something and have Him speak to you through His Word, when someone else gets the same thing or something that connects, that is so
affirming.
Cool because, you know, we're both, it means we have to be in the same, right? If we're both getting similar things, it's not like I'm on my own. And we're both hearing from Him. We're both doing it. And it keeps me encouraged even more. So share what you know with someone, whether it's, I had no idea that this was this, or I didn't know this is where this character came from. Or did you ever read this parable about the 10 virgins? I'd never read that. Yeah, you know, whether it's that or it's something, you know, a deep truth about community and looking further in commentaries, and you're like, wow, I would have never gotten that.
Yeah. Or just somebody saying, so can you tell me a little bit more about, like, how do you, like, where are you going to find the commentary? That's the other thing. Sometimes it's as simple as someone saying, can you share with me a resource? Or like, how do you get what you get? Because that's not a secret either. That's free for all as well. That's available to anyone.
Right.
I don't have any more access than the next person. We're open books. Yes. If any of you need help, come on Wednesdays, the 19th, small groups, ask questions. We have resources. Yeah. It's nothing that any of us are trying to keep to ourselves. We have our lamp lit and we're ready to help anyone else that needs theirs relit or lit for the first time. So it's very exciting. We hope you get excited about it just listening to us. And there are so many people that are reaching out to me saying, this is what I got and this is what I got. And for those of you that are in the room on Wednesday, just so you know, those 16 leaders, that's who I'm holding accountable. That's who I'm checking in with. So like last Wednesday, I sent out, this is one truth that I have found from the Word of God, and this is how I am seeking to apply it. Because as I hold them accountable, they have the authority to hold me as accountable. Mm-hmm. So I led off with, hey, this is what I recently received, and this is how I'm applying it. How about you? And then they privately reached back to me and shared theirs. So that's the Moses to the Aaron level. And then the other levels is those 16 women asking people from their small group, hey, this is what I read, and this is what I got to apply. What are you reading? That is that process of multiplication, 1 to 16 to 82.
Yeah.
So
and don't, like you talked about, don't just, you can't just wait. You can't just wait in the field,
yes,
waiting for someone to invite you.
Wish I had a small
group. I've been there, yeah, where you're just, you're desiring it so bad. I want this so bad, but I'm going to wait for someone to invite me.
Yeah.
And he's saying, God is inviting you.
Yes.
And you're going to have, if someone hasn't invited you,
yes,
and that's hard, it's, yes, hard, you have to take the step.
Yes.
You go,
yes,
find someone,
yes,
you go invite someone.
Yes.
Because God's already invited you.
Yep.
You can't have that excuse anymore.
If you're listening to this,
it's on you.
If you're listening to this, the Spirit has invited you through this podcast. And for those that are not in the region or able to come on Wednesday, find your own group.
Yep.
That's the thing.
Make your group.
Shout out to the PJs. You'll know who I'm talking about. But there are three women that have gotten together. They can't be with us. They've given themselves a name. Pursuing Jesus. They're the, aww, PJs. And they meet in their PJs. And they are reading the Word of God, seeking their truths, and applying it.
That's amazing.
So someone else shout out to me about your little personal circle,
yeah,
that isn't a part of ours. It doesn't have to be a part of ours. But find a circle.
Yeah.
And have excitement.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to close this out in prayer. And I and Maddie are inviting you, along with the Holy Spirit, if you can be in the room with us, Wednesday, February 19th at NLC, 6:15 to 7:30. You'll be blessed. We'll be blessed by you being in the room. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so. Creator, friend, lover of our souls, thank you for sending your son Jesus to make a way for us to accept you into our heart, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be offered a friendship with you, to be offered an intimate way for us to know the truths of your word, to be activated by it, to seek to walk it out. Even though we will fail you, we still seek it. We pursue it. We ask for your renewal. We ask for your conviction. We ask for your affirmation, and we ask that you continue to hold us accountable to, is our lamp lit? And what are we doing with the light? Lord, I pray that anyone listening here today will just stop and ask themselves truly, authentically, are you enough? Are you enough? That's where it starts. We have to believe and trust that you are enough. And here, Lord, today, I just want to honor and praise and give you all the glory for, yes, you are enough. You are enough for me. And I am only enough in you. And it is enough that I pursue you and share my personal relationship with you for others to see that it's available to them as well. In your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And whichever team you're rooting on to win the Super Bowl, I hope your team wins. And seriously, join us in the room Wednesday, February 19th, 6:15. We will be blessed by you.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.